This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and super honored that we're spending this time together, whether you're listening in on the radio at stewardship.com or on iTunes podcast. This is a call-in show where we talk all about your life through the lens of stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Call in numbers 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you can reach out on social media. My handle is chrisbrownonair on all social platforms. I want to start us off today with kind of dissecting an article that was written recently that I love. It is an article written by Jesse Carey in Relevant Magazine. I'm not sure if you listen or you check that magazine out or not, but this article is very timely. It's entitled, How Then Shall We Post? In reference to social media. The tagline is, they will know we are Christians by our social media rants, whether they're positive or whether they're negative. And I'm not going to read to you the entire article, but there is some portions in here that I want us to discuss. It talks about these algorithms when it comes to these social media platforms, and specifically talking about the Facebook algorithm that's involved behind the scenes. It says these algorithms have made it more important than ever for Christians to understand the power of their words and realize that Jesus, or what Jesus meant when he said that people will know who his disciples are by the way that they love, by the way that they love. Social media has, in many ways, this is what it goes on to say, changed the way that we communicate by taking the ability to talk with groups of people from face-to-face interactions to digital, mostly written discussions. It's reshaped how people exchange ideas. You've seen this, you've experienced it. Aside from little cartoony representations of emotions, there really isn't any effective way to use body language because we're reading someone's words instead of hearing them. Tone is nearly impossible to accurately convey. Here, the words themselves have more power. I love the fact that we're discussing this. It goes on to say, but perhaps most significantly, it frees people from the social norms of in-person interactions. There are no uncomfortable moments of silence, anger, awkwardness when conflict arises. Arguments can be had in the safety of solitude while typing away on a phone or a computer. I call that digital courage. Things you never say to someone's face are commonplace in a comment thread. It goes on to say much later in the article, the way we carry ourselves, talk to others, and treat people, it matters. It produces the fruit by which we and our faith are judged by people from the outside of our faith. This fruit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, even in our social media interactions. Folks, it goes on to say, our words shape the perceptions by which others understand what it means to be a Christian. And so it goes on. I like this article so much, I'm actually going to provide a link for it right there next to this episode at stewardship.com. I only covered a fraction of it, but something for us to know that we need to steward our words God's way and for God's glory. If we're going to share our passions, it needs to be bathed in love. We need to be known for what we're for, not what we're against.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
Folks, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Just a reminder, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com, or you can call at 866-357-3283. And first on the line from Hot Springs, Arkansas, this is Brian. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing today, Chris?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help?
Well, I have a question concerning selling a property contract for deed. I was intentionally planning on selling my lake condo to pay off my home, but I got an offer through a realtor, and they're wanting to give me a deal, which is a fair price for us, but they're wanting to put $10,000 down and make payments based on a 30-year fixed at a 4.5% with a one-year balloon. And when I run the numbers, 1 year from now, I would actually come out better than if I were to do just the cash sell on it. But I'm a little uncomfortable doing the contract for deed, and I wanted to know your thoughts on it and what I should look out for.
The risk, that would be the number one thing that I would look out for. What I would do is I'd play out the worst case scenario.
Okay.
So why don't you process it out loud for us right now? What is the worst case scenario? If you were to take this deal, what could happen?
My fear is the person end up not making the payments, they going through the trouble to get them out, and having more damage done to the property than I had on my down payment.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted you to say, because even if you are going to be further ahead 12 months from now financially, possibly, I don't like the risk involved in this. I do want to ask you a couple questions, though, about the market. How many lookers have you had? How long has it been for sale? How long do you think you'll have until you have another offer?
It has been listed for 6 months with a realtor. It has been shown probably 3 times during that 6 months. No offers.
Okay.
I don't know... I have gone back to the realtor and offered a signing bonus, $1,000 signing bonus, and that's whenever we did start getting a couple other shows quickly.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to be my best route to go.
Did you say it's for the selling agent or for the buying agent?
For the selling agent.
Yeah, I would throw in a $1,000 bonus for the buyers, too. That'll put your property above all the other properties when they go to show 10 homes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sell yours better than all the rest of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I would throw, or do 500 and 500, but 500 for the selling agent, 500 for the buying agent. But yeah, I mean, I want the buyer agents to be more incentivized to push my home versus the other five they show that day.
Okay. And the other question I had is, whenever I did talk to it, and I don't know if you would consider this a red flag or not, the realtor, you know, I asked, you know, could we consider doing the commit if we did do the $10,000, which I think I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the realtor told me that they had to collect their commission up front, that it was a law. And I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, I'm not sure about Arkansas, you know, real estate law or not, but I can see their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see why they'd want to get paid for their work if this deal goes down and goes south.
And they don't, exactly. Same reason I want to get paid up front.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to allow them to do it, but you're not going to do it. So that's, I mean, I don't like the idea. I know the way we do business around here as Ramsey mm-hmm. Solutions is we try to make sure we don't put ourselves in a desperate situation. Didn't sound like you're in a desperate situation. And
no,
so
basically where we're at is whenever this condo sells, we will take the money and pay off our home and we'll be debt free. And that's what we're looking for, which was the reason for selling the condo.
Yeah. So I'm not hearing anything desperate. I think you're, You're doing well financially. There's nothing. I mean, of course you want a quick sale, but I wouldn't give up that much control.
Okay.
And I wouldn't expose myself to that much risk. So I guess in a clear answer for you, I probably wouldn't do that.
Okay, that's how I felt. I just needed to hear someone else say it.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, next call is coming in from Columbus, Ohio. This is Stephanie. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm better every day. Welcome to the show. How can I help?
My husband and I recently just started, we got the Dave Ramsey's book as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
A few days ago, we both started reading it together, and for the first time in almost 10 years, it felt like we're on the same page when it came to finances.
Good.
It was good.
Uh-oh.
One of the things, the chapters that I essentially keep reading over and over again is about making the sacrifices, you know, like, you know, basically living on beans and rice type of stuff so that you can pay off those debts and get our snowball rolling. And we seemed to be on the same page and everything after reading the book, and everything sounded great. But then he's wanting to join his bowling league again this year. He's bowled since he was 16 years old. Those things are 33 weeks. This one is long. It's like $20 a week. Doesn't count, you know, whatever supplies he would need to do it, things like that. And it was like, to him, an automatic, like, you know, food, rent, you know, to him, bowling is a part of that. And so I was really discouraged when he brought it up, because I thought we were on the same page, that we were going to sacrifice. And to me, if he's not giving up bowling, it's not a sacrifice, but, you know, it's not the gazelle-like behavior. But how can I say that to him without it just, or how can we get on the same page about it, really is? You know, he knows I don't agree with it, but to him, it's a way of life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think first I need to know how much this expense is in your world. So you're looking at about $150 a month if you count.
If he can't, he gets food or drink while he's there. You know, they have brackets. They have. To me, it's a pretty big expense. I mean, I would say our annual income before taxes is only like $56,000 or something like that. So all of our bills at the end of the month, we're already stretching it thanks to our, you know, other debts that we're trying to pay off.
And yeah.
So I went through and I went through like our finances, and I called some of our bills to see whatever we could do to lower them, mm-hmm. To make it free up a little bit more money to put towards our snowball.
Yeah.
And I feel like after I turned around and did that, after we read the book together, that he turned around and ate what I freed up, essentially.
Gotcha. Now, in his eyes, not your eyes, mm-hmm. in his eyes, are you doing anything similar?
I honestly don't know, because I don't have anything like that. I don't have an activity that I go to. I'm pretty much a homebody, so I don't go anywhere, you know. I'm just a stay-at-home mom, and I take care of the kids, and I don't want to make it seem like, you know, that he's not willing to sacrifice anything or anything like that. Yeah, he's a very, very good husband. Just to him, it was like, this is one vice that gets him out of the house that's not work. And,
right.
You know, and so I feel bad taking it away from, like I said, he's done it since before we got married.
Yeah. Let me get you out of the activity bucket. Is there any expense that's like more closely tied to you than him that he doesn't get?
The closest thing that I could probably come up with is, because I'm stay at home, all the meals are on my shoulders. And in the past, I have done really bad about, you know, halfway through the week, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, 3 meals a day, every single day kind of thing. And
yeah.
So, you know, we're ordering pizza tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I did vow to stay away from that, you know, to essentially put my debit card away.
Yeah.
You know, no Chinese, no pizza. I need to be more dedicated to, you know, fixing the meals at home, because those cost a lot less than eating out. That's the closest one I can come up with, but
okay.
That's really a family expense. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. How much debt do you have?
Roughly, not including our house, I have $37,000 in school loans, and we have $22,000 on a car.
Okay.
And then we also have like $300 going towards leasing our phones or whatever, but we're paying that off with his next paycheck. So that one will be gone. But
so what's your goal? What's your debt-free goal? 2.5, 3 years?
Roughly. I know that in the next couple of years, he works for his government job, and we're guesstimating that he'll be about a G11 then, and so that would significantly increase our income.
Well, here's what I would do. I would have a conversation about this whenever he's in a super collaborative mood, and you know it. You know, you wives out there, you know when to talk to your husbands about certain things.
Oh, yeah.
So choose that time, and what you want to do is you want to ask him, okay, Proverbs 6:5 tells us to free ourselves like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. What does that look like? Don't talk about bowling. Let's just talk about what that looks like in our lives. Just a big, huge, overarching, open question. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes out, let's just say one of the cuts is not that. Okay, don't get in an argument about it. But I think what you want to do is you want to play out, what does this expense cost us? The pizza, and put some stuff in there on your side too, even if it doesn't belong on your side, but it's really a family expense. But just play along, okay? Put some stuff, decisions that he would not make that you're making in his eyes, that's on your side.
Mm-hmm.
So just say, hey, so let's play it out. We're going to get out of debt in 2 years, or we're going to get out in 2.5 years. That delay of 6 months. Okay, let's take that 6 month delay and put that up against Proverbs 6:5, freeing ourselves like a gazelle from the hunter. And let's ask ourselves, that delay, is it worth the peace of mind that it gives me to go bowling once a week? Is it worth the peace of mind of knowing that I don't have to cook that night? And you just got to ask yourself, is that delay worth it? And I think that's a great place to start on this. Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to win this. You're not going to go home 2 days from now and go, hey, you're not bowling. That will not fly.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. And I would never do that. And I actually feel really, really guilty the idea of taking it away from him, because, I mean, it's something that he treasures very, very much.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like it.
You know, God and family, like it's bowling. I felt like I'm telling him he can't see his mother. It's a big part of his life. And so the idea that he couldn't do something made him so happy actually made me feel guilty, made me wonder, well, am I wrong for feeling?
Yeah.
This is something that he should be cutting
out. Stephanie, here's the deal. Money is designed to build intimacy in our marriage, not bust it. And so leverage the conversation and say, hey, let's partner together. Man, I love the fact that you love bowling. I know what it does for you. What are some other ways where we can sacrifice twice as much in other areas? And just get creative about some other things. And then in the discussion, if he gets convicted about it, then he gets convicted about it. And I do want you to, by the end of the conversation or conversations, I do want you to feel like your voice has been heard. I want you to feel like, hey, just so you know, I don't think that we should be doing things like bowling. You say it in a very kind way. Just make sure you feel heard. You don't have to win the argument, but you just have to express your feelings. And then he's got to wrestle with what he does. But at least you don't even feel like you've expressed yourself. You don't have to feel this bitterness that you haven't been able to express yourself. So just make sure you're in a collaborative time first and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
All right, Stephanie, we appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, this whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. And your mind might naturally think about financial stuff, and that's a big part of stewardship, but it includes other blessings too. We heard that about relationships in the last call, but it's also like our careers. That's right. Your work is worship. That means you have a responsibility to manage your job for God's purposes. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So are you serving and worshiping God through your work? If you need help answering that question, I recommend our best career books right there at stewardship.com. I'm talking about Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership and 3 books that he requires all of us here at Ramsey Solutions to read. Rhinoceros Success, fun read, good short fun read. Quitter and The Monk and the Merchant. Great books. These four books will teach you how to do work that matters and use our jobs to work hard for God. Together, they're available for $29.99 today, today only at stewardship.com. All you got to do is click on store.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to your host, Chris Brown.
Looks like Ashley's calling in, and she's calling in from Marysville, Washington. Ashley, how are you?
Good, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
What is the best thing to do? You know, we have a couple little kids. They get money, you know, for birthdays, Christmases, the holidays, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what's the best thing to do with that? You know, I mean, right now they're in the piggy banks in their room.
Yeah, right. What are the ages?
3 and 5 months.
Okay. So you're kind of ahead of the curve.
You know, they have a couple $100 at least, so you want to do something with it.
I love it. Well, at that age, I know for our kids, we teach to give, then save, then spend. Give, save, spend, in that order.
Okay.
And my kids are 11, 10, and 8. The biggest thing for me that I was trying to teach my kids at 3 years old was the whole value of the saving part. It was a little early for everything else, I think, with my kids. And so what I try to do is not just a piggy bank, but a clear one that they can see growing. That's the big component.
Oh, okay.
They got to see it growing. But for me, as your kids get older, you really want to think, you know, for me, I do 10% giving, 20% savings, and 70% for them to spend or give more. But I want them to, you know, that first 10% in the beginning to just give first. I want them to have that mentality. Then 70% of discretionary. You can spend it on one big item, several small items. You can give it away. You can give and spend. But I want them to that 70% to really understand the reward of earning money. And of course, as they get older, it's always commission. It's not allowance. So they've got to earn the money. Okay, now right now it's just Christmas and Easter and birthdays, but as they get older, little tiny, tiny steps like putting your shoes away or putting the blanket away or putting the pillows where they belong, those are little small ones. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just 5 cents, it's the whole idea of reward for accomplishment. So that would be
that's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
See, like if she helps me with the dishes or the laundry, she gets, you know, 5 cents or 10 cents or that whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very good. I know at stewardship.com we have an article that we posted. It's the top things kids should know about money at every age. So make sure you check that out. And stay on the line as well. I want to give you a free copy of Smart Money, Smart Kids, okay?
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Got an email here from Adam. It says, Chris, I'm in baby step 2 and have just one $19,000 car loan to pay off. I'll have this done in October of 2017, but it sometimes is discouraging seeing that balance so high and not dwindling down as fast as my other debts. Can you please offer some words of encouragement to get me through the discouraging times? You know, I'm not sure, Adam, if you're upside down on this car, but if I were you, if you can't get this thing paid off by the end of the year, which I believe you can, with some hard work and some sacrifice, I would find a way out of the car. I would sell that thing or pay it off quicker, way quicker than next October. So that would be my filter. If you can't pay it off by the end of the year, you need to just sell it. Proverbs 6:5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. So if you picture yourself as a gazelle, I know it's kind of weird, but you're looking into the barrel of a gun. A hunter is hunting you. What are you going to do? You are going to flat out run. You're going to go. You're just going to absolutely bail as fast as possible. That's the way you need to run away from this car. So if you can't pay it off by the end of the year, you need to free yourself like a gazelle. Get it. You know, remember that vision that you have, Adam. What is it you're running after? Get that vision white hot right in front of you. and then realize that debt, like Chris Hogan says, debt is vision quicksand. And so right now that car is weighing you down. It's sucking you in. You're not reaching your vision. So way to go. You know, one more left. I got to tell you, obviously you've been kicking some tail. Way to go. Make that vision white hot and get rid of that car. Well, folks, it has been an incredible show today. We appreciate you tuning in. Great community that's forming on social media. So make sure you reach out at Chris Brown on Air. I love hearing from y'all. Don't forget, check out those four books that will teach you how to better steward your career and succeed in your job. They're available for just $29.99 today only at stewardship.com. Just click on store. Folks, that's it for today. On behalf of our producer, Bob Borquez, our associate producer, Amanda Rogers, and the entire family here at Ramsey Solutions, please know that we are cheering you on. God bless.